to continue in our series titled, Who Am I? I believe this is so important that we understand who we are, because when we know who we are, we know what we're here for, and we realize we have purpose. And today specifically, I want to look at the fact that you and I are here for a purpose. Okay, this is one of the most important things I believe in knowing our identity is understanding why we're here. Now, have you ever been somewhere and had that feeling or that thought about, boy, why am I here? Maybe a wedding, a funeral, maybe even at church somewhere. Maybe you've been there and you're like, why am I here? It's like, I don't feel like I fit. Anybody ever had that feeling? I know there's some of you, you fit everywhere. You just like walk in the room and it's like, yeah, I'm here. I don't know. But anyhow, we've probably all had that feeling. Ever been to the dentist? I have that feeling every time I go to the dentist. Why am I here? Why do they need to do that to my teeth? But I have also had that feeling at church before. That feeling of, why am I here? Do I belong? I remember one time as a family, we were in another city. It was our holiday time. It was summer. And, you know, we had just gone for holidays and Sunday's coming up. And, like, we got to go to church somewhere because going to church is something I enjoy, my family loves, because we get to worship God. And because it was summer holidays, you know, we didn't have our church clothes. And I usually like to dress up. Our family does. But you don't have to dress up to go to church. But we typically do. But because it was summer holidays, we just had our, you know, ordinary summer clothes. And my oldest daughter just had shorts, so she came to church in shorts. And, you know, that's okay. That's what we were dressed. But we went to a church. We didn't know anything about the church. And I think I had just looked online and didn't look very well. But anyways, we went to this church. And as we walked in, I realized something's different about this church. And we kind of went in and we picked this row and got into the row real quick. And I looked around and I noticed all the ladies had dresses up to here and down to here. And they had buns in their hair. And all the guys had ties and suits. And boy, they were looking at us. They were looking at us, and I had that feeling, I don't know if I belong here. Why are we here? And I was thinking, boy, they're going to have a message for those crazy people who don't dress right when they... Anyways, you know, I was telling somebody about this a little while after, and this guy said to me, you know what? Those ladies are in bondage. Anyways, bondage. Yeah, okay. It's a joke. It's a pastor joke. Yeah, don't laugh. It was only a few short years later, and I noticed that there's men that are in bondage. Right? Wow. Okay. You can wear your hair however you want. But we've all had that feeling. Why am I here? Right? That feeling of, do I belong? Did you know that there are some people that have that feeling about, well, why am I here on earth? Well, I have some good news today. You and I are here for a purpose. We were created, and God made us with purpose. Nobody is here by accident. I mean, you're not here by accident at this church. You're not here on this planet by accident. There's no such thing. You know, I've met people who... parents said, oh, they were an accident. You know, they were an after, they were later on. They were an accident. And they take that identity and they believe that they're an accident. But there's no such thing as an accident. Life can't happen without the creator of life saying, let life happen. So let me give you some scripture about the fact that you and I are here for a purpose. Now, first of all, I got to say this. God created all people for a general purpose. All of us have some general purpose that God set up right from the beginning of creation. Okay, so you can know that right off. You have a general purpose, but also today we're going to look at the fact that you have a specific purpose. So let's first off look at Genesis 1:26, the creation, where it all began. It says, then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, and all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the animals that scurry along the ground." You see, God created people with three general purposes that we can see right here in this scripture. Okay? Let me look at each one just quickly so that you understand you were created for a purpose. You see, one thing God created all people for was to rule over his creation, to look after his creation. So even today, you and I have this general purpose of, if we are alive, we have an authority over creation and a responsibility to look after it. Listen to Psalm 8, verse 3. "When I look at the sky which you have made, at the moon and the stars which you set in their places, what are human beings that you think of them? Mere mortals that you care for them. Yet you made them inferior only to yourself. You crowned them with glory and honor. You appointed them rulers over everything you made. You placed them over all creation. Sheep and cattle and wild animals too, the birds and fish and creatures in the sea. Oh Lord, your greatness is seen in all the world." You see, you and I were created with authority over the earth, the animals. How many of you know and understand your authority in that realm? You have authority over, well, let's just make it simple. That dog that's barking at you, you have authority over that dog. Did you know that? I don't know. That cat that lives in your house, the cat's not the boss. I just want you to know that. The cat thinks it is, but it's not. Okay? You actually have authority in that area. I grew up on a farm and we raised all kinds of animals, and we were taught when we were young, you know, you have authority, don't be afraid of animals. You know, if you're afraid of animals, they know it. If somebody's afraid of dogs, always when they go, the dogs bark at them. Animals can sense, oh, this person doesn't know their authority, so I can be the boss. And of course, in the animal world, that's kind of how they do it, right? Whoever can be the most macho is in charge. But for us, we have authority unless we're afraid and don't think we do. Anybody here ever been bitten by a dog? Okay, I feel for you. It's okay. We'll pray for you after. Anyways, I haven't been bitten by a dog, but I did have a run-in with a bull elk one time. We raised all kind of different animals, and elk were some of them. And I remember this one ordinary day because we had elk that ran all over, but we also had milk cows and different things. And it was in the fall of the year, and the bull elk decided he was going to get into the milk cow's pasture and try to chase the milk cow around. He wanted the milk cow to be part of his herd, I guess. But you don't get milk, so I was like, oh, we got to get that elk out of the pasture. And this was a normal thing. And I took with me a little chunk of 2x4. And I went in there to go get that elk out of the pen. Also, if you understand animals, if you look bigger, they think you're the boss. But anyhow, so I went in and I, you know, gave that elk, oh, get out of here, you know, shoo, shoo. And the elk started to go. And then, unfortunately, my dog, which is an old English sheepdog with lots of hair and can't see anything, decided it was going to come in the pen. Well, of course, wild animals, elk, deer, moose, a dog to them is a huge threat. And so the bull elk went after the dog. And the dog ran. It was going up the hill. The bull elk has horns down, just going after that dog. And then it put its head up, and the dog did a big circle and came and hid behind me. And so the bull elk is up on the hill, and the dog is hiding behind me. Well, the old bull elk, he goes like this. He looks, I don't know if he even saw me, but he sure saw the dog. And he turned, and he headed straight down the hill at me. And his horns are down, and he is, I'm thinking, this is not good. And I had my little 2x4, and I'm not really a quick thinker. You know, maybe that's the wrong word. I think a lot and I think fast, but the action takes a while. We've done like different studies and things where you fill out stuff, and I do think, and then I act. But anyways, this time, I just thought and acted all at the same time. Thank you, Lord. But anyhow, there I was. He's coming down. I'm thinking, I got this 2x4. If I hit him on the nose really hard, he's just going to run me over once. And, you know, he'll take off. That was my thought. Not a lot of faith, but, and I thought, I'm going to holler really loud. So here he comes. He's right there. I'm trying to time it. And I'm like, ah! And I swung that 2x4 as hard as I could swing it. And because I yelled really loud, he lifted his head and my 2x4 went right under his nose. Now, the thing is, elk can stop on a dime. There were skid marks from all 4 feet about that long. And when he stopped, his nose was right here. He turned around and he ran out of that pen like I had shot him. Why? Because he knew and I knew that I had authority. My dog was in trouble after that, by the way. But anyhow, the point is, you and I do have authority, but sometimes we don't know it. Sometimes we don't walk in it, we don't use it. And so we spend life, rather than being in authority over the world around us, we are in fear. Somebody who lives in fear of many different things, guaranteed they don't think they have authority in any realm. And so they live in fear. So I just want to put that to you. Don't allow that to be you. God created people to rule over creation. And the second thing we see in Scripture, God created people to reproduce godly offspring. Now today we have about 8 billion people, and you might want to argue, do we still need lots of, well, I'll just leave that up to God. But that is how people were created, to reproduce. Genesis 9, verse 1, we read another verse about it, and this was with Noah after the flood. It said, then God blessed Noah and his sons and told them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth. And then if you go a little farther in chapter 9, verse 19, it says, from these 3 sons of Noah came all the people who now populate the earth. So we know that after the flood, there was only the 1 family left, and from the 3 sons came everybody who's now on the planet. Did you know that science verifies this? They know that the people population began in a certain area around Turkey area there and spread out all over the place. They actually know that. There's no evidence of people growing up out of the ground all over the earth. They started in this point and spread out. It's a scientific fact. And of course, it's Bible. So God created people with that ability. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I like facts and statistics. And so I thought, I want to find out, like, who had the most kids ever in the world, you know, after Bible time. So I went to Guinness Book of World Records. How many kids do you think? So this statistic is the most kids born to 1 lady. Anybody have a guess? Somebody said 25. The actual number is 69. Yeah, I know. You could say, what? So it's official. It says that a peasant from Shuya, Russia, so this lady was from Russia, and in 27 different births, so 27 pregnancies, it said that she gave birth to 16 pairs of twins, 7 sets of triplets, and 4 sets of quadruplets. And I don't know if they all lived. I didn't get that far on the statistic. I just stopped right there. But there were many families back in those times that were really large, and always, of course, the older girls looked after the kids, and you know that's how it worked. Anyhow, I just want to say this. No one family has to do it all by themselves, okay? That's a lot of kids. But we were created to be able to reproduce and have kids. It's one of the things that still today people are created with that ability. So those are 2 things that we see are general purpose for people. And why did God create people that way? Because he created people that he wanted to share his love with and be in relationship with them. Okay, so that is the third purpose. God created people because he wanted to shower his love on them and be in a relationship with them. And we're talking about a father-child relationship here. But let me give you a couple of verses to show you. Isaiah 43, 21. The people I've formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. God wanted connection with the people he had created. Ecclesiastes 12, 13. Solomon writes this after the end of the book. And, well, we'll read it first. It says, after all this, there is only one thing to say. Have reverence for God and obey his commands, because this is all that we were created for. You see, Solomon was extremely wise and extremely wealthy. And he had everything you could imagine. He actually says he didn't keep anything back from himself. Whatever pleasure he wanted, he could have. And when he got to the end of it, he was like, it's all a waste of time. If you read it, he says, it's all vanity. It didn't make him happy to get more. You know, I meet people all the time that, well, if I was just a little, had more money, I'd be more happy. It doesn't work that way. Well, if I just had more kids, I'd be happy. It doesn't work that way. Well, if I just had less kids, I'd be, anyways, it doesn't work that way either. But you get the picture. Everybody's thinking, if I could just get this for me, I'd be happy. And Solomon said, no, it doesn't work that way. He said, but I found something out. When I look at everything in my life, all the wisdom I've gained, he said, this is what matters, that you have reverence for God and keep his commandments, because you were created for it. Isn't that something you want to live fulfilled? You want to live a life where you feel like it matters? Then part of your existence will be serving God. If you decide, you know what, I don't think so, I don't believe in God, I don't like God, I'm going to leave him out of the picture, you will live unfulfilled, guaranteed, because you were created with something in you that needs to worship and have connection with a heavenly Father. Okay, so I want you to know that without a doubt. You can leave here today and say, you know, I don't even know if I believe in God. That's okay, but you'll live unfulfilled if you don't get this, because you were created for it. Young people, I've met young people that are like, boy, when I turn 8, I can't wait till I turn 18, because I'm just going to get out of here. I'm not going to do anything my parents said. I'm just sick of church. When I turn 18, that's it. It's over. I can tell you this. You're going to party well for a really short time, and after that, you're going to hate life. Because life without serving God how you were created to serve will be blah. And the blah, that's just at the best. Because if you continue on that path, it'll go from blah to, ah, I hate this. I don't know who I was imitating there, but anyways, it just came out. You were created for it. Why do you think it's so fulfilling? I'll tell you, there is nothing more fulfilling than being in a service where the power of God is present. People are worshiping from their heart, forgetting about what's around them, and you just have his presence flow through you. Do you know that only happens if you're wanting it and you're willing to connect with him? You can sit in a church where great things are happening, but if you've got your shell and you are closed off and you're like, I don't want it, you will just be looking around going, why do they do this? But when you do this, okay, God, show me why they do this, you'll understand what he meant. Now, obeying his commandments, is that difficult? Is it really hard? Well, according to Jesus, no, it's not hard. In Matthew 22, 37, Jesus condensed it down and made it as simple as possible, and he told them this. Somebody had asked, what is the greatest commandment? And this is what he said. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Love him. He loves you. Love him back. You see, that relationship that God wanted with us is the relationship of a loving father to his children. You're here today, maybe you had a great relationship with your father and you understand this. Oh yeah, I had a father who loved me, this makes sense. But maybe you didn't. Maybe you had a father who wasn't good to you. If that's the case, when I say this, it maybe doesn't make you feel good. But I'm talking about a father who loves his children. And fathers, you have an important role in this life for your children. I'm talking about the Heavenly Father right now, but it is a picture of what we are called to do and should do. You see, we know statistically that fathers play a huge role in their children knowing that they belong and that they have a purpose. Fathers play that role. Mothers, you guys are unbelievable. You are amazing. But if dad doesn't step up and pour in and say, you matter, kids don't know it. Boys from fatherless homes are more likely to be involved in a violent crime, while girls are more likely to become pregnant as teenagers. And 71% of all high school dropouts come from homes with absent fathers. 85% of all youth in prison come from fatherless homes. 90% of all homeless and runaway children come from fatherless environments. And 70% of teen suicides occur in homes where there isn't a dad. I've read these before, but you know what I see when I read these today? Every one of them is young people crying out and saying, why am I here? And does it even matter? You see, high school dropouts are people who leave high school because they don't feel that they belong there. What's the point of learning? What's the point of getting an education? Do I even matter? Do I belong? When youth end up in prison, it is youth who have decided, I don't belong and I don't even care anymore. I'm going to do whatever. And 90% of homeless runaways, when young people run away from home, it's because they feel they don't belong there. They've asked the question, why am I here? And they've got no answer. And so they decide they don't belong. When a young person ends their life, they have decided they no longer belong on this planet. Fathers, the words you speak can cause your children to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they belong and that they have a purpose here. You see, each and every young person has a destiny and God has a plan for them. And fathers, you can bring it out or you can crush it. You can cause a young person to soar with your words, with your actions, or you can cause them to crash and burn. There's no father that's perfect, but let me tell you this. You have a purpose in you as a father to inspire your children. They don't care if their teacher thinks they're great. They don't care if their friends think they can do it. They want to know if dad thinks I can do it. Because if dad thinks I'm good, if dad thinks I can do it, then I can do it. Why is that? God created it that way. And that's why in the picture that he wants to give us of who he is a heavenly father. And he speaks into your life, into your destiny, and he will not let you down. He will not run out on you. He will not say, I'm done with you. He said he'll never leave or forsake us. That's a good father. And he's available for you and I. The song says he's as close as the mention of his name. And he has a purpose for you. You see, God created us with those general purposes. He also created us with a specific purpose. Jeremiah 1 verse 5 says this, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Let's read one more in Psalms and then I'll talk a little bit about this. You saw me before I was born. The days allotted to me had all been recorded in your book before any of them ever began. You see, God created you and he knew what he was going to create before you were even in the womb. He had a plan. But here's the thing. God created you and has a plan for you, and then you get to choose whether you want to follow it or not. Because he doesn't make robots and he doesn't force anybody. So do you want to follow his plan? The answer to that question is yes. Let me ask it again. Do you want to follow his plan? Yes. Okay. They're like, is that a trick question? No. Would you not want to follow the plan of the one who created you and knows what he made? Knows your strengths, your weaknesses? Today, if someone creates something, they create it for a purpose, don't they? There's never anything created for just because. When people create things, they create it to make a job easier or to accomplish more tasks. You create things for a purpose. Well, God created you and I as well for a purpose, and a specific purpose is in line for you. Now, I'm going to say this clearly because your specific purpose can change over the seasons. Your specific purpose might be your career. It might be your job. It might be where you're at the moment. It might be being a mom with little kids, but eventually you don't have little kids. Your specific purpose will change with the seasons, but it will fit how he created you. Okay? So don't ever get stuck. Always be moving forward in what God has for you. You see, when I think of specific purposes and plans, I feel that many people don't know what their specific purpose is. So they kind of bounce around to whatever seems to be working. But let me give you a couple ideas to help you with this. Your specific purpose will be something that you're good at, that you enjoy. Okay? Because if he's created you for it, it's going to fit, right? It's going to be good for you. It doesn't mean it'll always be easy or that there'd never be something difficult. I know people who know that they were called to be a mom. That doesn't mean it's never hard. So a specific purpose will fit you. It'll be something you desire, something you're good at. That's just a little bit of a hint for you. Now, I'm going to come back to this at the end because we're actually going to take a bit of time to pray and ask God to speak to our purpose. Okay, some people are, many of you are already in your purpose right now. But maybe you need to I need a little confirmation about this. I'm getting tired, or I just need God to show me where we're headed. Sometimes in your purpose, you get just so into it, you wonder, where is this going? And you ask the question, why? Well, there are answers to the question, why. But let me go to something else before we come back to this, because we are going to come back to this. I want you to understand in your specific purpose, in the general purpose of what we do, God also created us to love others and make a difference. So no matter what your specific purpose, the overall arch of it all will be that you're loving God and you're loving other people. So this is pretty cool. So your career can change, your job can change, but there will be this about you and I that gives out to others. Let me read a couple verses. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Doing good for others is part of why you're here. It's part of the purpose of why you're here. If you become selfish in life and never do anything for anybody, you will not feel fulfilled. Okay? I'm going to say that right there. If you're struggling a little bit with, I don't know, just do something good for somebody, you're going to feel completely different. Okay? I'm going to just give that to you. Matthew 22:37. If you remember a little earlier, we read that Jesus said the first and greatest commandment was to love the Lord your God. Well, let me give you the whole scripture now because there's a second part. Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law, all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. This is pretty good. Serving God does not have to be complicated or confusing. You love him with all your heart and all your mind, and you love others like yourself. He said, if you do that, you're going to be fulfilling all the commandments because they all hinge around those things. Isn't that simple? I didn't say, tell him you're simple. I said, it's simple. Okay. I know you didn't do that. All right. But it is very simple. You see, while we are fulfilling our specific purpose, God will love through us and he will cause us to love others continually. And if we take the time to do that, our specific purpose will come into line and it will flow. You know, if you are doing something and you are so busy that you are unable to take time to love others or take time to love God, then you're too busy. You're not doing your specific purpose, or you're overdoing your specific purpose. You know, as a pastor, I know I am called to be a pastor and to reach out to people and to do those things, but do you know that if I overdo that and I forget to take time to just help someone out, or I forget to take time for my kids and be a father that speaks into their lives, that's out of order. So I need to make sure that my specific purpose still gives room to love God and love those he's put around me, especially my kids. I can be open and honest with you. There were seasons in my life where I put 100% of my time into ministry and forgot everything else. Did you know that's not okay? Because parents, no matter what your job, your business, or your role, your kids and your family are the most important, those right around you. And for those of you who are like, well, I don't have kids or I don't have a spouse, your job still shouldn't take 100% of your time. Are you taking time to love the Lord? Are you taking time to do good for others? Make time for those things because it is also what we were created for. Did you know that the only way that we can truly fulfill our purpose is to be filled with the love of Jesus? Now, we talked about loving God and loving others. You can't just make that up. You can't just do it by trying hard. You actually need to have it within you for it to come out. 1 John 4:19 says, we love each other because he loved us first. You can't love others without first experiencing the love of Jesus. And in Romans 5:8, it says, God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. The love of Jesus was shown for us when he came and he died on that cross. It was shown for us when he came to this earth and he said, I will pay the price and I will make a way for you once again to have a right relationship with your heavenly Father. Because you see, sin broke that relationship. Sin caused us to be away and separated from our heavenly Father. But guess what? Jesus made that relationship right again by hanging on that cross for you and I in our place. And he said, this gift is for anybody who wants it. It's a free gift. And he said, all you have to do to receive this gift and have that relationship made right, all you need to do is to believe in your heart and use words. And church, that's why we take time at every service to pray a simple prayer in case there's one or two here today who have never prayed and said, God, come into my life. God, save me. We do that here for you. Because I believe everybody needs an opportunity to have the right relationship with the Heavenly Father. So we're going to do that again right now. I'm going to ask you to pray with me, and I'm going to ask everybody to join in. I'm not trying to single anybody out. And I want you to repeat these words after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I ask you now, forgive me of all my sin. I thank you. My relationship with the Heavenly Father is made right. Amen. Give God praise for that this morning.